Take your Bible, if you would, please. Book of Romans, chapter number 5. Book of Romans, chapter 5. I'm glad we still sing the old songs. Some of them are new, but songs that have, I'm going to use the word flavor. I don't know what that means to you, but it means to me that they have a good tune. They have a good doctrine within them. You can gain from them. The Word of God teaches us that singing and making melody in your heart, it has a purpose in it, and it's to teach us, and the songs can do that. And how many things can you remember if you can put it to music? How many remember this song? A, B, C, D, E, F, C. Some of you be singing it the rest of service. But it helped you remember, eh? Amen? I don't know what they sing nowadays, but it's not that one. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate a church that's willing to gather for prayer. 5:15, we generally have 25 and 30 folks show up for prayer. That's unusual, church this size, and I'm very thankful for that. And join us if you would, please. It just, it's marvelous. God's done some neat things through those times. So praise the Lord for those privileges. Amen. Well, let me see, chapter number 5. And I'm going to read the first 9 verses of this chapter. And the title of my message this morning is very simple, Justified. Justified. So let's notice here, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much. We have the privilege this morning to hold this book in our hands. But more importantly, oh God, how we need it in our hearts. We know that your word has the ability to save. We know that your word has the ability to change hearts and lives. We know that it's powerful. We know from its own pages that it's sharper than any two-edged sword and pierces asunder the soul and the spirit. Lord, we can barely tell the difference between that, but yet your word does. We pray this morning that you might honor your word with your presence, that you might this morning through your spirit open its pages, its words to each and every heart. We pray, oh God, you might receive the glory. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. One of the greatest doctrinal books of the Bible, I believe, was the book of Romans. As you go through the book of Romans, you're going to find within it the themes of depravity of man. Man is depraved. Man is sinful. And we find that especially in the first 3 chapters of Romans, as it talks about the Jew being a sinner, talks about the Gentile being a sinner, and then he just sums up and says, all of us are sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It talks about justification before God, which we will deal with this morning. It talks about sanctification of the soul for God. That's a big word. Well, I guess it is, but it simply means that we've been set apart. And so God sets us apart for his own purpose. It speaks of the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look at that a little deeper this morning as well. It talks about the liberty of man through the Spirit of God. You and I have been set free from the bonds of sin. It talks about the security of the believer. If you're saved this morning, God keeps you. It's not up you to get saved, not up you to keep saved. It's up to us to receive what he's done for us. It's up to us to cry out to a holy God. And when we do, he saves us completely. All the way, not part way. We find that it deals with perhaps the greatest subject in all the Word of God. That is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. His resurrection. We'll have a few more words with that this morning as well. Thus, there's laid out for us in this book the wonderful plan of God for our salvation from being a sinner to being a saint. You say a saint? Yes, somebody accepts Christ their Savior, or they become a saint of God. You don't have to have a church proclaim it. It's just the way that it is. Our chosen text for today, I believe, gives us some marvelous teaching on the topic of justification. To be justified is to be treated as holy. And the reason God can treat us as holy is because Christ was treated as a sinner as he died upon the cross. The wages of sin is what? Death. Who died? Jesus died, did he not? What happened? He took my wages upon himself. And thus he became, in a sense, a sinner for me, that I might be a saint of God. I would call that a tremendous exchange, the greatest exchange of all time. Notice with me verse number 18 of our chapter says, therefore, as by the offense one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. As you and I have sinned in Adam, and we deserve the condemnation of God, we also, through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, can have justification unto life. Thank God for it. Now, in a temptical sense, when we think about this matter of salvation, I might put it in two parts. Don't get all bent out of shape here, but let me explain something. We find in verses 6, 7, and 8 that he died for our sins. He died for our sins. Thank God he died for our sins. He paid the price of my sin. But we also find something as we go back to chapter 4, and that is that he resurrected for our justification, our position with God. So in one sense, our sin was paid for, and in another sense, our sin was replaced with the righteousness of God. In chapter 4, in verse number 25, it says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And so you and I today, we can have this transformation take place within our very soul. If you've accepted Christ your Savior, this has taken place. It's a metamorphosis. It's like a caterpillar that one day wraps itself in a cocoon and another day comes forth as a beautiful butterfly. I was outside just a few days ago, and I spotted two monarch butterflies. And I thought to myself, what beautiful little insects. Not too many of those around. And these two little creatures were headed to a place down in Mexico. My goodness, how God works in lives and can take us in these things. So I want us this morning to stop and consider this thing of justification, because I believe that it comes about in four different ways. If you notice verse number 1 of our text, it says, therefore. Now he says that because of what he said in verse 25. He was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, being justified by faith. All throughout my boyhood, I was taught that if I was a good boy, that I one day would go to heaven. I'm sure that that might be true in many lives here this morning. But that was what I was taught. I don't believe that my mother had an understanding of the Gospels as she ought to have. And so that was the teaching I had. What that means is that heaven depends upon my ability to meet God's standard. That means God has a standard. I've got to meet that, whatever goodness is. That standard, by the way, is laid out in what we call the law of God. And there be the standard. One day I asked somebody, are you going to heaven? They said, yeah. I said, how do you know? They said, I keep the Ten Commandments. Well, I thought that was interesting. And then they went one step farther and said, and I also keep the Sermon on the Mount. And I thought, okay, so you've never killed anybody. And according to the Sermon on the Mount, you have never even wanted to see somebody eliminated. You are indeed a marvelous person to be in that position. Probably in this room this morning, some folks that in their mind, if somebody would have been gone, it wouldn't have bothered you too much. You know, what's that show us? We're sinners. We're sinners. And my ability is not enough to meet God's standard, that standard of the law of God. Then one day, I learned that following the law of God could not get me into heaven because I had broken it. Now, that was obvious because I saw it in the Word of God, but was also obvious because I saw it very vividly in my life. Let me read to you a couple of verses. Galatians 3, verse 11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. He says in chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Romans 3:20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. What we learn? We learn we cannot be justified by keeping the law. But what do we also learn from those verses? We can be justified by faith. Do you understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ would be ineffectual if my salvation depended upon me? My salvation must depend upon what somebody else did for me. That's called faith. That is believing that they are going to take care of it. Galatians 5:4 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Listen, if we do it by the law, we can't do it through the grace of God. And it's impossible to do it by the law of God. But according to the Bible, my faith in what he did for me by dying in my place would save me and make me just. That is the great exchange that God did. He went to the cross that I might not have to. And when he was on the cross, what did he do? He conferred his righteousness upon me if I would accept it. It's just that plain and simple. So how do we get justified? Not by what we do, but what God did and putting our faith in that. Secondly, as I look at this text, I find that justification comes by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you notice with me, in chapter number 5, and go down to verse number 9 with me. And it says, much more then, be now justified by what? His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. You say, by his blood. That sounds rather gross. Well, if we go back to the Old Testament, we find that the Bible teaches us the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, if they would have known that back in the 1700s and early 1800s, George Washington might not have died when he did. They thought blood was that which was horrible, and they actually perhaps bled him to death by putting leeches on his body because they thought there was impurities and you had to get rid of it. The blood, by the way, can be infected, But we also know that the life of the flesh is in the blood. You lose all of your blood, and what do you lose? Your life. It's gone. And thus, God requires the blood of the Lamb. He required it clear back in the Garden of Eden. You say, how do we know that? Because in the garden, we know that God covered their nakedness with the skins of animals. If we keep the type throughout all the Word of God, I believe it was most likely a lamb that God slew, took the coat of that lamb, and placed it upon Adam and upon Eve. I used to wonder, it said, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And yet it seemed like they did not die that day, but many, many years later. But oh, wait a minute. One did die for us on that day. One did shed the blood for us. And that one, for them, was the lamb in the Garden of Eden. We find at the Exodus, there was a lamb for the family. They were to take a lamb, and they were to slay that lamb, take the blood of that lamb, and put it over the doorposts of their house. When the death angel came throughout the land of Egypt, those who had the blood applied were saved. Those who did not, those who thought that that was stupid, those who did not believe that was so, they had one that died in their house, the firstborn of every house. We find that as the temple was reared up, that it was sanctified by the blood, and they brought blood sacrifices there constantly and continuously. But most of all, it was on Mount Calvary that we find the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, when he walked out and John the Baptist saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And thus he stood in our place. There are those who want to minimize the blood and say that it's repulsive. Ought to understand something. Our sin is repulsive to God. And if we think blood is repulsive, we ought to understand what our sin is to him. There are those who say, well, you worship the blood. No, we worship the one who is willing to shed it for us. The one who died in our place. Again, the great exchange. And so we find that you and I, we are justified by faith. We are justified by the blood of the Lamb. We are seen by God to be holy as a result. But I want us to notice something else that goes with this. And I find it in verse number 2 and also a little later in the Word of God. But notice what it says in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this what? Grace. I would say to you this morning that you and I can be justified or are justified because of the grace of God. Titus 3:7 says it exactly, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justified by his grace. Say, what's grace? Is God giving us something we do not deserve? Is God given to us an eternal life that we do not deserve? Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God in his omniscience devised a plan whereby his justice would be served and his people preserved. I would have never thought of this plan. It is so simple and yet so marvelous. We find it spoken of clear back in Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter number 4. And it's actually mentioned by a woman to David. And it's a connection with his son that had been banished and did not allow him into his presence. And it says, for we must needs die and are as water spilled on the ground which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any persons, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. God devised a plan that would satisfy his justice and also satisfy his love. And thus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's by grace because we do not deserve it. There's a song that sometimes we call the Baptist anthem. The world has picked it up and different popular songs have used it from time to time. And I would to God that they understood what they were singing when they sang that old song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It truly is amazing. And the more we understand our depravity, the more we understand our sinfulness before God, the more we understand the amazing grace of God. Fourthly, we're justified by his name. By his name, yeah. Listen to what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our name. His name is his mission. His name, Jesus. When you see the J-E throughout the Word of God, most likely it is referring to Jehovah God. And Jesus simply means Jehovah saves, or God saves. John chapter 1, verse number 12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's power in the name of God. The power to save. The power to make us just before him. And it's a name that you and I have had placed upon us as a result of our justification. And that name is Christ One or Christian. And may I say in closing, his name is above all others. In the book of Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 9 says, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His name is exalted. It tells who he is. It's his identifying mark. It is he who came to this world to save us. It's through that name that we can be justified. If you've been saved this morning, you've been made just before God. You've been made holy before him. I don't think it adequately describes it, but somebody said justified. We can remember it like this, just as if I'd never sinned. We have to be careful of that because it might put the burden upon us. But certainly it's God who looks at us and sees one that he made brand new. My question this morning is, are you brand new? Are you brand new? Have you been justified? Have you been made perfect in the eyes of God? Oh, I know no one else thinks so. But when you put your faith in Christ, he does. That's how he sees us. Because he sees us through Christ. You see, we are in Christ. If we be in Christ, can you imagine the shell of Christ on the outside, us inside? I hope that's not disparaging to God. But when he sees Christ, what? He sees us. That's where we're put at, by the grace of God, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by our faith in what he did for us, by his marvelous name. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much. We can have this marvelous position of justified, that you have been willing to make a great exchange. As you died for our sins and gave us your holiness. Lord, we're so thankful this morning that you have the grace to do that when we're so undeserving. Father, I pray if there be one in our midst this morning without you, the day would be a day they cry out to a holy God. Lord, I pray that amongst your people, we might have a more clear picture of our Savior and what he did for us. That we might go from here reveling in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing these moments of invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.